and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? And this week on the podcast, it's Rocky III.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for this one.
This movie hums along. I gotta tell you, I thought coming into it, I was like, this is gonna be a bit of a slog. That's fine. Whatever. Honestly, so fun.
It is. And like, okay, I know all of my guy friends are going to give me shit for this. I know this because they do frequently. I have not seen a lot of the Rocky movies.
Okay.
This is my first watch of Rocky III. I've seen Rocky. I've seen Rocky Balboa. I have... That's it. And everyone's like, C4, it's the best. But anyway, so I was like, I was really going into this expecting like... all the shine has gone off the Rocky series by the third one. This is going to be like pure 80s Sylvester Stallone cash grab camp.
Mm-hmm.
It is not really. It's like a thoroughly enjoyable, as you said, 90 minutes, hums along, hits all the beats you want it to hit.
I would argue there's probably some parts that weren't meant to be funny that are now, I would say. I think that kind of helps it because like I don't think this was like reviewed super highly.
Yeah.
But I think the way it's aged has made it more humorous.
Yeah. Carl Weathers crop top and running in the sand.
Carl Weathers can get it in a crop top.
I'm not saying he looks bad. I'm just saying the fashion style was ridiculous.
Hilarious.
I was
like, funny.
Why wear a shirt at all?
At that point. You know what? I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Carl Weathers is absolutely stone cold fucking ripped in this movie.
So is Stallone.
Yes, I know. But there's something about the speed at which Carl Weathers moves that I'm like, this guy is like, he's doing it, you know? It's impressive. That's all I'm saying.
For sure. So this is Rocky III. If you haven't seen it, like me, basically it picks up where Rocky II left off, which I also haven't seen. I know he fights Apollo Creed again. So third installment in the series, Rocky is now the heavyweight champion of the world after defeating Apollo Creed. And he's kind of going on this like tour, basically defending his championship but against a bunch of... challengers, I guess is what they're called. and he's winning all the fights. And this is basically like an opening montage, which also includes Mr. T playing our Clubber Lang, giving him stink eye from the stands. This is in the montage. So we know that they're setting something up here. And Clubber Lang is, again, opening montage of a movie. And we already have a training montage. I love this movie.
I like that too because they catch you up. If you haven't seen the other movies and they're like, this is your first watch of this for whatever fucking reason.
If you decide to jump in on number three,
you know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. And then Rocky is very successful. He's had lots of title defenses and he's announcing his retirement. They're revealing a statue of him in Philly and announcing his retirement. And Clubber Lang shows up and starts yelling at Rocky, being like, I never got my chance. I'm like number one ranked. You won't face me, blah, blah, blah. And Mickey, Rocky's trainer, is like, get this guy out of here. he's a disgrace. And it turns out that Mickey was preventing Rocky from going up against Clubber because he thought he didn't stand a chance, that he'd lose. Yeah. And he was handpicking opponents that he knew Rocky could beat. And so Rocky's like, well, that's not going to work. Train me one last time, Mickey. We're going to go for it. Mickey trains him. They go through this ridiculous gym where like people, they're selling merch and shit at the gym as Rocky's working out and goes up against Clubber Lang. And the key thing is you haven't been hungry since you beat Apollo. You don't have that hungry look in your eyes anymore. He goes up against Clubber Lang and Clubber Lang knocks him out in the second round. Absolutely vicious defeat. Rocky is totally unprepared. Rocky's like, that's it, I'm done. Mickey dies because like right after the thing of a heart attack, which he's been having, I'm going to argue for a very long time, he's been having an active heart attack. Rocky's all despondent or whatever. Apollo Creed shows up and he's like, I think you could beat him. and Apollo Creed takes over to train him, and they go to LA, and they start running on the beach and working out in Apollo's gym where he came up, and Rocky learns like what, like basically how to move
his feet. Box. The training is so, anyway, I'll get it. I'm going to leave that.
Yeah, Rebecca's the boxing expert on this episode. And basically learns to move with rhythm and all the rest. And Adrian, his wife, is there and is like, "You're afraid." And then she's like, "I'm afraid of losing and like you." And they actually a pretty kind of nice, heated little speech to.
Oh, that was a nice scene. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, goes up against Clubber Lang again. He gets a rematch against Clubber Lang. And this time he goes a couple more rounds and knocks Clubber Lang out. And Rocky wins, everybody. He's the new heavyweight champion of the world.
It's because he's got the Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger. Yeah. Sorry. It opens the montage is the Eye of the Tiger.
It is.
But you're like, that song.
And they say it a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not even like this is the background. It's like if you watch Top Gun and they kept going, "Do you want to go to the danger zone?"
Yeah.
Like,
and Eye of the Tiger is by far one of the best psych up songs of all time. Just like opening, like bass, like ding, 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 like you're like, I'm ready to go. Also the Rocky theme. The music in this movie is like, it sounds like it's the 70s and early 80s, but you're like, I'm here for it.
Oh no, I almost wanted to go for a run after. I was like, dude, should I go exercise or something? Oh yeah. No, he is... So I think, okay, so we can agree that the main villain of this is Mr. T, Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, he's the main villain.
Yes, yeah. Who also, I would say, arguably does this as Mr. T. Like, it's... he literally says, "I pity the fool." Like,
Mr. T isn't known for disappearing into his characters.
No, I think...
No, he is not.
Mr. T is Mr. T, and excuse me if I call him as such for
the
rest of
this
episode.
Did you see Mr. T in Hamlet? Just... To be or not to be, I pity the... Like, you know, like, it's Mr. T.
It's Mr. T. You could also make the argument that we've kind of got, just very briefly, but also because I want to talk about him so desperately, Thunderlips!
Yes, Thunderlips appear as a villain early on.
I like to call them like scene villains. Like he's a villain for a scene and then he's gone and has no like impact on the plot line or anything like that.
And played by Hulk Hogan.
Firstly, I'm going to start, I think maybe we'll start with him because he's the lighter villain. Then we can totally get into Clubber Lang. But first of all, Thunderlips is the funniest fucking name ever. I laugh because it's Thunderlips with the tagline, "The Ultimate Man." That is, Oh, it doesn't get better than that, friends and family. Like
it
that
made me feel a little gross.
Oh, like, Thunderlips. That sounds like the harshest insult you could give a woman. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like a joke you make in bed after somebody's queefed. Like, it... Thunderlips is so funny to me. I couldn't stop laughing the whole scene. I could not stop laughing.
The it is amazing that Hulk Hogan... is able to say Thunderlips and not break
so serious.
Just, and not crack in a smile.
Thunderlips, the ultimate man. He was crying.
Yeah. And I will point out, so this is for a charity match. So basically, Rocky, heavyweight champion of the world, is going up against the wrestling champion, Thunderlips.
And I want to point it, because this is another point that made me laugh so fucking hard. I was like, I don't know what's happening in this scene. It's the whole scene's insane to watch.
It is.
So it is absolute chaos. It's so bananas. Very entertaining. To say, though, they're in a charity match, okay? Apparently, and it is inexplicable as to why... Neither man has agreed to what sport they're playing, what sport they're participating in. Because we have a wrestler and we have a boxer.
Very different styles.
Very different styles. Okay, that's totally fine. Okay, but one has to agree to go to the other because Rocky showing up with gloves on and him just having his bare hands out is insane. You can't do that, man. That's not a real match. That's nothing. Okay, you haven't agreed to anything at this point. There's no way Rocky should be showing up with fucking gloves on, and this guy's just got free hands.
And he's picking him up and throwing him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, we agree. I was like, come play baseball with me, and you show up with a golf club. It's not going to go good. Okay? We have to be on the same page here. What the hell is happening?
I just had a picture of me stepping up to plate with like a 3-wood. Yeah. Just fucking belting that, like actually knocking it over the fence. And yes. You just being like, that actually went better than I thought. But yeah, it's nuts.
Clearly, and I would say at the fault of neither of these men, because like clearly the organization, whoever's organizing this event is incorrect. Okay.
Yeah.
They haven't.
It should have been like mixed martial arts rules or something, which didn't exist at the time. But yeah.
Whatever. We're also taking the leap that wrestling is super duper real in this universe.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you want to make the argument I'm going to make, which is it's actually not, this guy's doing an incredible job at this charity event. Okay. And this is kind of my point for this man not being a villain even a little bit. Because at the end of the match, because he's like really like amping it up. He's kind of like pushing him and stuff before the match, like yelling at everybody in the audience. I'm like, that's what wrestlers do.
Yeah,
literally their job. That's what they do. Okay, this guy might be a heel or something. Whatever.
He's absolutely a heel.
Yeah, he's showing up. He's going to be a villain. Whatever. But that's like a part of the job. You're doing a charity event.
Yes.
This is supposed to be a part of the fun. Even afterwards, when he's talking, he's like, "Oh, how about a Polaroid now or whatever?" He's like, "What was with all that crazy?" He's like, "It's a part of the job."
Yeah, he's like, "Of course, I'll get to Polaroid with your family." Like,
yes,
yeah, because he realizes that he. Rocky is the perspective that I'm going to walk out into the arena and then we're going to talk a little bit at the beginning and then the fight starts.
Mm-hmm.
And Thunderlips knows that it's like the second he steps out of the change room or like into the arena, that's when the performance starts.
Yeah.
Like I'm my character. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, I'm playing the heel.
You have intro music.
Yeah.
There's a whole reason for that. You have a persona here.
I know that I'm the heel because Rocky is beloved. So I'm going to, when he's like, "Hey, you want to get a Polaroid after?" And he pushes him and he goes, "Fat chance chump," or whatever he says.
Yes.
He's like, "Yeah, you're doing your job. You're being entertaining as fuck." Also, I have to say, there is no way that I think Rocky must have been in on it. Because I don't think there's any way.
I have a different perspective.
You think so?
I don't think Rocky understands what acting is. I don't think he understands the concept of performance.
Okay.
He is a man of sports. Okay. He's a boxer. He doesn't understand that this is just for entertainment. He thinks they're going to do a sporting thing. Every time Rocky speaks, he's not a smart man.
No.
Okay.
No.
I just think there's a reasonable, I think there's a reasonable argument here that he stepped in the ring. He doesn't know what acting is.
Yeah, maybe that. I'm just going to say it's going to be very hard to pull off some of the moves that they pulled off without collaboration.
Yeah.
Like flipping a guy and doing like, like jumps off the ropes onto him and stuff. Like you need to,
I
don't
know
a lot about
be...
wrestling. Yeah, it's the height in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like he gets thrown out of the ring into the audience at one point. It's a ridiculous fight.
It's super funny
to watch. It doesn't move the plot at all.
No, doesn't do anything.
Except, I guess, that Clubber Lang is there.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, look at fucking Rocky. He's doing this like Mickey Mouse crap.
Yes.
You know, not taking it seriously. He'd rather embarrass himself and embarrass the sport and do this then face me.
And on the opening montage, we see him go to several matches to watch Rocky.
Yeah,
right?
Clubber.
We watch Clubber Lang
yeah.
go to watch. And I think it's supposed to be painted as like, look at him spying. You know what I mean? Watching him, whatever. I'm like, oh, you mean like being professional and doing his job? Like, this is literally what you're supposed to be doing. If you're a boxer, you should watch you absolutely should be watching your opponents.
Yeah.
What are their weaknesses? He's got a weird step. Apparently, Rocky just doesn't know how to box at all. through the training montage, I was fucking losing it at how little he knew how to do.
Yeah.
I was like, "You're supposed to be the 34-year-old champ. You've done this. You've done this time and time again. You don't know how to hit that bag? You don't know how to hit a speed bag, sir? What the fuck is happening here? You don't know how
lost
to...
his mojo or
something.
He didn't
know how to move his feet.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about boxing, but I know it's a lot of footwork.
Yeah, he didn't know how to move his feet. He didn't seem to know how to hit any of the bags properly. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of blunt force is everything. Yep. And that's not a good strategy. I got to tell you, like, a lot of this shit's about... If you're a heavyweight, you could maybe get into a debate about whether you want to have, like... Those guys are more leaning into strength, right? They're big, they're heavy.
Yes, and I do think Rocky has always been portrayed as the bruiser. Like, he's... And especially in the first movie, his big thing was, like, I went the rounds, and I got beat to shit, but I lasted.
And I think that really shows in these training montages, because this guy's got no fucking speed. It seems like none at all. And also every match I was like, do you guys, is every boxer in the 80s just doesn't understand like defense at all? Or like, no one know how to keep their gloves up even close to guard? Like, what the fuck is happening?
I wrote that down. I was like, that first fight with Clubber Lang, I was like, is anybody trying to block a punch in this?
I got to be honest with you guys. The strategy of let the opponent punch me in the face until they're tired is not a good one. It's not solid. Okay. It's not going to work out unless you're literally in a movie. That was because they both do it.
Yes,
Clubber Lang and Rocky both do this thing where they're like, hit me. And I'm like, what are you both the Joker? Like, what the fuck? Why are you activating this? Why do you think this is going to be the thing that tires them out the most? It would probably tire him out more if he kept swinging and missing you and you would not be hit.
Yeah, that's a win-win. I think that might be the point of boxing.
Solid all around.
Zero strategy. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Thunderlips, great.
Thunderlips, he's there. He's a great performer. His name is Thunderlips.
So funny. Now, Clubber Lang.
Oh my God. So easy to defend this man. Okay. Yeah. So first of all, you might think that initially when you're watching, you're like, okay, he is saying things that are untrue. Like basically like, I'm not even beginning the opportunity to fight you. I've been coming for you forever. You're dodging me. You won't fight me. Yeah. We very shortly later find out that these are facts. He is being dodged.
Yes.
Okay. This is a man in a professional field where he is not getting a shot at the title that he deserves to have because a manager wants his guy to have an easy ride.
Yeah. And to have to, Clubber has moved up the ranks really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have to resort to showing up in public and publicly challenging someone, even to be heard or seen, like that's crazy. And I wanted to ask you this because you kind of know boxing a little bit,
guys.
So how does that system work where the reigning champion gets to choose who they fight?
Oh, I do not know how that end of it works. Like, I know how technically, because like
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like boxing as far as like how you do it and these sorts of things. I totally get that. As far as the structure of how they match up fights, I'm not sure about that actually. Yeah,
because like in this movie, it makes it seem like you could be at the number one ranked guy beating everybody and like you don't get a chance to win the title.
Well, you have to make the argument that like Logan Paul must be scooping up a bunch of spots for people that are vastly more talented and higher, much
right. I guess that's the money part of it.
Yeah, like, you have to assume there are promoters and things that I don't know. Although I think all of those were like exhibitions or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, point is that they put people up that can
make money
rather than watch pure athleticism. You watch two people that are the best at what they do beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah. So I guess like right off the top, we can say the system is broken for Clubber Lang where it's like he's being denied his shot.
This is, and truly unfair.
Truly unfair
because he is clearly the best.
He's the best. And he wants to get Rocky in his best. And he's observed him and knows that he can unseat him.
So I do not blame this man for publicly being like, yo, like, let's have a fight. I'm going, and then kind of being like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you. Yeah. Like all that kind of stuff. That makes total sense to me because that's the only way he was going to get a fight.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Anything else, he's not getting a fight.
He'd asked nice at that point, you know.
Yes, he had asked or whatever, 100 times.
Yeah, and we learn it's Mickey who's saying no. And there's this moment, I brought it up before, but Mickey goes, get that guy out of here. You're a disgrace to the sport. You're never fighting him. You're never fighting him. This is like in public. Mm. And you go, oh, he's a disgrace to the sport. Did he like cheat at some point? Did he like what?
Manipulate a system where he only had to fight easy people, yeah. Maybe?
What about Clubber Lang makes him a disgrace to the sport? And they never acknowledge it, which, you know, kind of reads as racism at that point.
Yeah, kind of tastes. Yeah. Kind of has a little texture to it.
Yeah.
Also, when you start listening to Paulie talk, you're like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some problematic views amongst these
Paulie
people.
Paulie should be thrown in an ocean.
Paulie's real bad. Let's talk about Paulie for a second.
What a dumpster fire.
The fucking balls to be a shit talker hanging out in a gym of professional boxers.
Yes. Like, I'm like, literally each and every one of those men could kill you. Like, just ruin your life, dude. Look how
small, short, bald, overweight man with a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, ah, fuck these guys. Fuck it. Fuck you. Fuck this. This place is shit. And I'm just like,
yeah, what makes it shit, Paulie? Ugh.
I can't be seen. He says, I can't be seen around with these guys. I've got a reputation.
Yeah.
And Rocky's like, well, I don't think they like you either. He's like, well, what did they do to me? Or what did I do to them?
Yeah. What did they do to you, you fuck?
Yeah.
What an asshole. Oh yeah. My God.
He's so irredeemable.
Oh, there's literally no defense for that man.
He starts the movie. The movie starts not even on Rocky. It starts on Paulie. Watching Rocky in a, well, I mean, there's the montage.
Right.
But then, like, it starts with Paulie in a bar getting drunk, stumbling into a arcade, throwing a liquor bottle through a Rocky-themed pinball machine.
Hilarious.
Calls Rocky to bail him out of jail, the drunk tank, and then immediately tries to fight the heavyweight champion of the world in the parking lot of a police station. Just because he feels like he's owed something.
Lunacy. Yeah. Do you think there's a Mike Tyson pinball machine somewhere?
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. The marketing of this is so funny to me. Yeah. But yes, 1,000%. Also, the audacity. Oh, hello. Sorry, the Scar surprised me.
The studio dog
surprised me. You wanted some pets. cold nose, though. Cold nose. What was my point? I'm totally distracted by
Paulie
the kid.
And
So Paulie, to even pour on to that, okay, just like this guy is so offensive as a person, that he is getting housed and a job for free. Like he's been helped when he deserved none. Okay. Yeah. You've been helped when you deserve none. And then you decide that you're allowed to complain about your accommodations or what you're doing, yeah, or whatever. If I'm not paying a dime, I say nothing.
Yeah.
I say nothing.
Great. Thanks for putting me up.
Yes.
And he takes the watch. He's like, you haven't done anything for me. And Rocky's like, I got you that watch. He's like, this thing doesn't fucking keep time. And he throws the watch on the ground. And Rocky goes to pick it up. And he goes, no, leave it. And he kicks it. I was just like, you ungrateful fuck.
Like, he is such a child.
Yeah.
He is 5 years old with terrible opinions. He's like,
just not defensible at all.
No,
just
not defensible. I don't like him.
We're judging you a little for the company you keep here, Rocky.
Yeah, actually. You know, I don't care.
I know that they came up on the streets together or whatever, but it's like, yeah, come on, man. You've grown past this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so back to Clubber Lang, though. Yeah. No. It's all good. Because, like, Paulie's a villain for sure. But, yeah, so it's the racism angle, right, that he hasn't been getting this, I can only assume.
Well, because it's present in other places in
exactly.
The context is there, and you have to assume it applies to him as well.
Yeah. And no offense, but Mick doesn't look like a guy who isn't racist.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny. His voice is so funny.
Oh, it's probably, yeah, fight him, Mick. fight him,
Rock. Sounds like he's got a coal mine in his throat. Yeah. Like, it's just what?
Oh, beautiful, though. Love it. And we learned that that's true, that Mick has been putting Rocky up against easy competitors, which is, that's got to piss you off as Clubber.
Oh, no, that's so... Well, I think every single person knows that feeling.
Yeah.
When you feel like you're being kept down in your jaw or wherever you're at, you know you should be progressing faster, but, you know, somebody's son needed the promotion or whatever. Whatever it is in your industry, your job, or wherever you're at, it's, everybody has had this feeling before.
Why
of
them?
Like, why them, and why is this so unfair? Like, why, we have a structure for this. This is not supposed to happen.
I should be next in line to yes. fight this guy. And now he's going to retire mm-hmm. without fighting me, which is kind of that, like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, like, even if Clubber... So I guess if Rocky retires, then he retires, like, undefeated or whatever, and the title just goes up to whoever gets it next. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there would always be, and even if Clubber won, which he likely would have against anybody else, he still has that hanging over his head. He goes, yeah, but you didn't beat the champ. You kind of side doored it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want like a little asterisk yeah, on your, exactly, on your exactly. own title.
Yeah, it's like, so I totally understand his perspective. And I think the worst thing you could say about Clubber Lang is he shit talks a lot.
Which is great marketing for a boxer.
Yes. Oh my God.
Like, this guy understands his business.
Yes.
He understands the business he's in. You're a fighter. They're like, oh, like that guy, you can't fight him. He's a killer. You mean the guy that decided to put fists to people's faces as a career? Yes.
Yeah.
All of these guys are, yes.
There might be some workplace risk here. There's
yeah,
like a, yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
No, 100%.
You know, you just get in there and he hits you and hits you. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, no.
I never. Here, all right, Rock, I'm going to level with you. I never told you about the stuff you're supposed to do with the bottom of your body in boxing. You're a real dumb guy. We only got to the upper, we got to the upper body. We got to the punching, which is the important part. That's an important part of boxing. We never told you what to do with your feet. This guy will destroy you. Yeah. And I think the other thing that you maybe could blame Clubber Lang for in this movie is at the first fight, they're coming down the stairs, going out to the arena, and Clubber Lang starts talking shit. Which I have no problem with you talking shit. You see your competitor, it's game day. You know what I mean?
There are reporters everywhere.
I'm going to get in under your skin. I'm going to bother you. That's his strategy, and it works. And then at some point, one of them loses their temper and tries to rush the other right before a fight, which is the dumbest thing either one of them can do. I don't know who started it, but Mick gets pushed.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing about that whole kerfuffle, though. That to me seemed like nobody really started it. This is the thing you do in the bar where neither of you are going to hit each other. You're making it seem like we're going to have a big blow up and then your whole crew pulls you back and we're going to deal with this in the ring.
Okay, fair
enough.
This
is all in my mind, like just some showmanship shit.
Cool. And I agree with that. But then because of that, I think Clubber bumps into Mick or like somebody bumps into Mick and Mick gets pushed down. And it's like, that's what triggers his heart attack and he dies after the fight because he refuses to go to hospital until he knows how the match works.
That is
the dumbest thing in the world.
Is that what happened? Because I must have missed that line because I kept writing.
I think Adrian said he refuses to go to the hospital until he talks to
you. Oh, there we go. Okay, because I kept writing down, are there no ambulances in the 80s? Are there no ambulances in the 80s?
And there's a doctor there and the doctor is not like, no, we can't wait. We got to go. Here's my thought of that. It's like, oh, Clubber Lang caused the heart attack.
No.
Clubber Lang, no, he didn't. Mick has been complaining about his heart since the match with Thunderlips.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's my heart. That man has been having an active heart attack for weeks. For weeks.
Holy shit.
He has been undergoing heart failure that whole time. And just happened to give out on game day.
You're right.
That's...
Yeah.
Go to the...
At no point did I think that was on Clubber Lang at all, to be honest with you.
No, it wasn't.
If you get if you get pushed a bit and you have a heart attack, like
anything could have set you off.
Don't be here. Don't be in this hallway with 100 people.
Why don't you want to train me no more, Mick? I'm actively dying.
I'm dying. Right. I can't be around these people anymore.
I am like 100 years old.
No, he absolutely didn't. I don't think he caused that. Like it's,
no.
And they tried to pin it like they're... Because the whole narrative before was like, this guy scares me for you. I can't handle it. You can't handle it. We can't handle this guy. And then Rocky... If anything, Rocky did it. Because Rocky was the one that kept insisting we have to do this. And he's like, I can't handle it. And then forces Mickey to train him and be in his corner anyway.
Yeah.
And I also Mick says no a bunch in that scene.
Yeah. And he's like,
he goes, I can't do it. I can't do it, kid. I'm retiring. I'm retired.
One more time for me.
One more time. No ambulances.
I just have one rule.
No ambulances.
And the thing is, I can't imagine that. I know he's not training to be a fighter, but I imagine training a fighter is not a low cardiovascular stress activity. You okay. know, like he's moving around too and doing things with him. Like it's not to the, he's not doing like, you know, pushups to the extent that Rocky's doing pushups.
No, but you're doing pads and shit.
You're doing
like
pads.
You gotta take at least some light hits, whatever. And when you see like older boxing coaches, none of them look like Mick. Like they all look stock. They're like they still have that like muscle going on. Like they look old, but
like if a 200-pound man punches a pad you're holding, you have to stay standing.
Yeah, you're not going to evaporate. Okay, you're not going to explode into dust. Okay, 1,000%.
Just Rocky punches and Mick just tilts over.
My heart! And that's it. That's the whole scene. And then we got to watch Rocky on a beach a bunch.
Like, yeah.
Can I? I'm just going to sidestep for 1 second. Can I tell you, just one scene was so cringy for... I wanted to throw myself out of a window. Right. I hated it so much. I think you, as soon as I start talking about it, you'll know. They're in bed. He goes, why don't we do a little duet? I'm like, oh my God, I want to crawl inside of myself. He's like, so you do, and then I'm going to sing. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. And he's like, well, we're doing it anyway. Do it. And then Strong's arms are into doing. First of all, you know me, I do not want to be sung at. In any capacity, in bed, outside of bed. No, if a musician locks eyes with me in a crowded room, I'm uncomfortable. Okay. Do not sing and make eye contact with me.
Rebecca's at a concert and lead singer points is like, and this one's for you. Yeah. And she's just like, nope.
Nope,
and
walks
out of the concert.
Nope.
Out
of here.
You have ruined my evenings.
Every time I see those.
I was enjoying your little concert and now I am gone.
Every time I see those videos of women getting pulled on stage, I'm like, that is like, I actually think if there is a hell, that's mine. It's just that happening over and over again to me. And this one's for when they pull me up and I sit in a chair and then they sing at me and I want to die.
Yep.
So that whole scene, I was like, oh my God, Adrian, the patience of this woman. You have the
Well, and I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember from the beginning, like Adrian was always like really shy. Mm-hmm. And I think they hinted at borderline, like kind of simple.
Oh, okay. I can't like, remember. I haven't watched like, the other movies in a really long time.
Like she says almost nothing in the first movie. Like the whole thing is like Rocky kind of like pulling her out of her, shell, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like she seemed, as the movies go on, she seems to get like a little more confident because I think they're like, we can't have her be like a dormouse through the whole thing. But maybe I'm misremembering that or misreading
it. No, you might be
but,
right.
Like, yeah. So it's like,
well, I don't think like a somebody who got a PhD at Harvard's like, yo, Rocky's it.
Yeah.
This guy that sounds like he's gargling marbles. Yes.
Adrian.
Yeah. No.
No one can say her name like he can.
Oh, no.
Yo, Adrian.
That is true. It has a certain quality to it where you'd be like, nobody doesn't like Rocky. No, that's good. That may, and honestly, in this movie, I find she has one of the better speeches.
She does. That,
like that
that's
whole
great.
Scene on the beach. Honestly, okay. Watching this movie, I was kind of like, I don't get Adria. I was like, I don't get it. Like, and then she gave that speech, and I was like, nah, I get it. That's good. She's got a real sparkle to her. I like that speech a lot.
And they're yelling at each other, but they're not really mad at each other. Mm-hmm. They're like mad at. They're like, this is important.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you, and you need to. And like the line of when Rocky says, "I didn't have any. I'm scared." He goes, "I'm scared because I didn't have anything to lose." Before, mm-hmm. and now I have something to lose. I have you, I have the kid, I have, you know, a life that we have together. And what happens to me? What happens to that if I lose? Or what happens if he kills me in the ring? Right? And you go, oh, that's actually really quite insightful and good for this movie. And I just want to quickly do a tangent where I acknowledge that for many men, the Rocky movies are the only language for emotions that they have.
Oh, I'm screaming. Oh my God. No, you know, that's
funny. It's so true. Like the number of times, just even among my friends who are very, you know, open and like progressive and, you know, not at all, but like the number of times that situations have been framed in terms of Rocky quotes is uncountable to me. Which is why they also give me shit for not having seen them.
That's
because
so
they're
funny.
Like, there's a speech in a Rocky movie that will describe how I'm feeling right now.
I'm so sorry. Because now I'm picturing a chart with all the scenes and they just point to one. Yes. It's this one today. It's this one. I'm
just
screaming.
Oh, the spreadsheet is perfect. Is this an intense feeling? Yes. Yeah. Quitters do that and that ain't you.
They speak in code with their partners. Yeah. Where are you right now? I'm on the beach. I'm on the beach.
I'm afraid of losing. What if you don't think I'm a man?
Oh my God. That's so funny.
How you feel right now? Like Mick just died. Like Mick just died.
Oh my God. Now I just want to write a character that describes everything in Rocky movies.
Yeah. Rocky in combination of The Godfather, I think you'd cover every emotion. Oh,
do you want to get people mad right now?
Yeah.
I've never seen The Godfather.
That's fine.
Good. Okay. I like that answer.
It's good, but like.
It's just like, I feel like I missed the boat.
Yeah. Cause we weren't born in the 70s, but
we were born and it just kind of feels like I'm like, who's the time? It feels like, I could be wrong. Isn't The Godfather like a long ass movie?
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And okay.
The sequel is also very good. Godfather Part 2.
No, like, I totally believe it. And I'm certain, like, it's not like I'm never going to watch
it. It's like, I haven't seen Citizen Kane either. It's like, yeah, it's a, no, it's, but it's like held up as like the best movie ever. And you go, I haven't seen it. Cause I've lived a life and I don't have, I mean, you know, we watch a movie every week for this podcast,
it's
but
true.
Like, I don't have time to go through the entire, I did at one point want to try and do the entire AFI's like top 100 movies of all time. I think I got like 10 in.
That would be an interesting challenge. Or you could get one of those things where they scratch off.
Yeah.
Books. But every time I see it for books, I'm like, oh man.
Don't give me a reading list. What is this, high school?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Just, I want to. But anyway, so getting back to Rocky and Clubber. So Clubber legitimately wins that first round. Rocky is entirely unprepared.
He is unprepared and just
stupid and selfish about the way he was preparing.
1,000%. This guy was doing nothing. It was like, I love that little montage of them going back and forth, kind of like what Rocky's doing. When they launch into where he's going to train, at no point did it penetrate my brain that he was going to train there until it was said out loud. I was like, there's no, you mean in this convention center, sir?
Yeah, with fans around watching and like.
I have never seen that in my life. Maybe that's like a part of I don't understand, or maybe that has happened before. I think that's imaginary. That is not.
No, of course. That was Rocky being like, I'm this big celebrity. I think so highly of myself. People love me. So I'm gonna basically create an amusement park so people can come watch me train, which is insane because then anybody can come watch you train and get all of the inside information that Clubber Lang needs to fight you.
Yeah. What are your techniques?
Rocky, you know, Rocky's a bruiser, but he can't, you know, we know he lasts rounds, but if you get a couple knocks to his head, he'll be down really soon because he's not smart enough to move out of the way.
Yeah.
But bam, all Clubber could show up, but all he has to do is send one of his trainers to like, what are you doing, Rocky?
Yeah, go watch him train.
Go watch him. Go buy some merch, drink, eat some popcorn while you're at it. Absolutely ridiculous way to prepare. So Clubber 100% wins that title. Clubber then goes on to defend his title successfully multiple times between that first and second fight. And here's the other thing that comes in that really skews this in Clubber's favor for me for this movie, which is that he had to fight tooth and nail to get his shot at the championship. And Rocky gets a second chance right away. Once again, mediocre guy getting another chance to unseat.
Okay, my defense of that is that I think he had to accept.
True.
He, like, I think the ball was in his court on that. I think Clubber Lang, it was his decision whether the fight was going to happen or not.
Right.
Because he's the champion, he gets to decide.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
kind of
fair
the rules
enough
that have been set.
Yeah. But I still think, like, right off the bat, you're getting that second chance. It's like, you know, like the whole system had been set up to keep Clubber Lang out.
Yes.
And then once he is out, the system once again conspires to get that guy back into the position of power, which especially like from the race angles that are like underlying this mm-hmm. movie, it's like, yeah, but, you know, you weren't supposed to win. Let's get this guy back out. Because there's obviously like some sort of officiation or like structure that is saying that's okay. I agree. He had to accept. But
it does feel weird to me too that the audience is still like the people that attend these events are still so in love with Rocky when I'm like, this guy's been killing it for like several fights apparently.
Yeah.
How does this man not have any fans?
Oh, I would like
100%.
I think the closest you could probably get to would be Muhammad Ali in terms of like the guy who's the best and shit talking. Like Muhammad Ali was great at shit talking.
So and honestly, there are that's like a part of it. It feels like
right.
It's a part of a fight that like if you watch, it doesn't matter where you're at, like UFC, boxing, whatever it is. Generally speaking, it's actually weirder if somebody's like nice and just like oh, we'll just see what happens. I think he's an incredible athlete, and we're gonna see what happens out there. Like you don't get those answers a ton.
You don't. No. Yeah. Which I don't understand because I do feel like that would give you an edge. Like I think I've never understood why people get upset and like start throwing like, you know, like backstage or whatever at the weigh-in and they're like, I'm going to throw punches. It makes no sense. It's way, you're way more in control if you're calm, you know, like someone who could sit there and just be like, yeah, okay, Clubber. yep. Mm. I'm going to take you out in the ring.
Well, I think you kind of want a sprinkle of everybody. You want your firecrackers, you want your nice guys, you want the whole thing because it's supposed to be, it's really turned more into entertainment.
Yeah, true.
Than like a spectacle of athleticism in a lot of ways.
Let's all agree, Mr. T, super entertaining to watch.
Ah, so like, entertaining. Yeah. And like, clearly a better boxer. Like just, I'm sorry, just like clearly trained harder. And it was so funny that the flip just happens. He's like, oh, well, Rocky decided to turn it on, so now it's over. And it's like, how? This man's been training like crazy every single day, eye on the prize. He even has this thing where he's like, I live alone, I train alone, I win alone. Like, oh, buddy, yeah, I'm gonna watch you for sure.
Yeah. I think one part where I would say Clubber maybe went a little too far, which is he didn't really give Apollo Creed the respect that he deserved.
Oh, yes.
Where he's like, I don't need no loser in my corner or whatever, right? Get out of here. And like, man, he came before you, you know, kind of like respect your elders. Like this was the heavyweight mm-hmm. champion one champion ago.
I will say watching that, like watching Apollo Creed train Rocky made it so unbelievable to me that Rocky ever beat Apollo Creed. Just like watching them train together, I was like, you didn't beat him. Like, you just didn't. I'm sorry. I know it happened in the last movie, but you actually didn't do it.
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem with the third sequel, which is that to show his improvement, he has to be bad at things, and obviously bad at things to an untrained eye, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's obvious he's not moving his feet like Apollo is, but you're like, that would also cause you to lose this? So, like, in order for him to show this arc of, like, I'm getting better, they almost have to nerf him a bit and make him worse?
But there's just no planet where he wouldn't know how to hit a speed bag. Like, I just... I don't know.
Have you been training on sides of meat this entire time? Like, even after you become heavyweight champion, you're still in the freezer? Yeah. Just like...
That's his gym. He's like, I'm going to put a gym in here. It's. I want it to be a walk-in gym. What do you mean a walk-in? Aren't all gym walk-ins?
We're going through $1,000
of beef. Are you talking about a refrigerator right now? You're talking about a freezer, sir?
I don't know what Rocky is doing at that butcher's, but all of this meat just comes out so tender. It's like someone's been hand massaging it every day for 8 hours.
Restaurants employ them. Yeah. It's just Stallone on the line, just fucking smashing steaks. This is the only thing I know and understand.
Yeah. Man, I'm a Clubber fan.
Absolutely. And I maintain there's no way Rocky beat Apollo Creed.
No.
Just based off of the training alone. I was like, I cannot believe this man got, anyway.
And I do love the favor at the end was fun too. And I love that they leave that as a question mark, because like we have one movie where Apollo beats Rocky. Mm-hmm. The second movie, Rocky beats Apollo. And in the third movie, it's like a little closed door boxing match. And then like, we don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, that was truly the perfect way to end this movie.
And they call back to it,
honestly, iconic.
Yeah, I think they call back to it in Creed, where they go, legend has it, there was a fight between you guys behind closed doors. And they once again are like, Rocky's like, I'm not going to tell you who won.
Creed won. Yeah. He won. I'm telling you, he absolutely 1,000% won. He won.
What we're discovering is Rocky is not actually that good of a boxer. He's got a lot of luck.
None of these men had any guards.
Watching that one fight reminded me of that Simpsons episode where it's like Homer boxes and it's just him getting hit in the head over and over again. And to the point where there's a scene where Rocky, after he loses, is driving around Philly in his motorcycle without a helmet on. And I was just like,
he's a man, Craig.
He's a man. But I was like, I don't recommend that. But also, I get it. Like, you take concussions for a living. I'm going to make an exception for you to ride around.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're fine after Mr. T, a road's doing nothing. A road is doing nothing. You're fine. Your head will bounce right back out of that. You're good. Keep going. Yeah. Rocky should never wear a helmet.
Although he does have a helmet to throw at his own statue.
That is
so true. He has the helmet on the bike, throws it at his own statue, and continues riding around without a helmet on. Just perfect.
I love that there's a statue of him.
Yeah. There's a real statue.
I know. That's why I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's just a fictional character. Statue is so deeply funny to me. I love it.
Yeah, we love him.
Because it's not in like a fan museum or like whatever. It's like it's downtown. It's there.
Is it? Is it? It's not at the top of the steps.
No, but it's like or maybe I don't know where it's located, but I know it's like out in the city. Like it's.
Yeah. It's like public.
Present.
I know that.
Yes. That makes me scream. I love it so much. Good for you guys.
But also good for Rocky for making a certain set of steps famous, you know?
Yes. Like,
that's an accomplishment. Yeah, man. Clubberland got done dirty.
Yes.
That rematch was kind of horseshit. I don't think he should have, you know? Lose gracefully, Rocky. Walk away.
Yes, 1,000%. You're not a great fighter. Go home and be with Adrian.
Yeah, anything else we want to
I think I've called all the people trash that I want to call trash. That's pretty much what I'm here for, as per usual. I guess it's time to go to our rankings. What do you got for us,
Yeah,
Greg?
So I got the, so it's a boxing movie, so I did a boxing scale.
Yeah.
So from boxer shorts to boxing gloves, I'm going to give Clubber Lang a boxing day. The Canadian holiday after Christmas, everybody. Because he had to wait a while for his shot, but he's got the goods.
Yeah,
he's got the goods.
He's got the goods.
Boxing Day is a shopping holiday, if you didn't understand that term.
Oh, so shit. I forgot that's just Yeah.
Yeah.
We're little weirdos. Mostly just because I love Thunderlips so much. That's my favorite... That's my favorite scene. It's my favorite part of the movie. And it's my favorite name I've ever heard. I am going to do wrestlers' names, I guess. So from the amazing convertible hair to volcano cheeks, I am going to give Clubber Lang a hurricane hands. Because it's just, he's good. He's just good at what he does. He deserves a solid, reasonable name. And he's fast.
Love it.
He's Hurricane Hands.
He's Hurricane Hands. Yeah, that should be his nickname. There we go. Guys, and we'll get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a few ways that you can help out the podcast. First of all, if you have some money and you would like to help support the podcast, we would be happy to take that from you. No, we're on Patreon, everyone. Patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you don't know what Patreon is, it is a subscription service where you can support the artists that you love, namely us. And in return, you get some really sweet benefits. One is audience choice. Every month we have our patrons vote on what movie they want us to cover the next month. And as well, bonus episodes. Every month I do a pick, Rebecca does a pick. You get two shorter bonus episodes where we talk about things where the villain maybe wasn't that right, or just movies that we want to talk about. So we have some great ones there. And you also get access to the entire back catalog. So over 60 episodes of extra content at this point, with two new ones every month. So if you got that, go ahead and check it out. And if not, thank you for listening and telling your friends and all the rest. So thank you very much for that.
As always, you could follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook, and villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got for us, Greg?
Yeah, so I've got a couple small ones this week. I grouped them together. One, and they're somewhat related as well. one hero I would say is just friends. Just the group of friends that I have, Rebecca included in that. Just been I've been reaching out to a lot of people over the last week, and just everyone's been there to support and show some love when I need it, and that's just really nice, regardless and at any time like that. And in the related note, my villain of the week, I'm gonna double side this, is Hangovers. Hangovers, because hopefully it's not apparent, but Rebecca and I were out late last night till about 3 a.m. having some drinks. We didn't expect to be out that long. And let me just tell you, I went a little overboard. There used to be a time in my life where a hangover was like a curable thing that everyone had like a little fix for, where they're like, I remember waking up in college and that, you know, someone being like, well, what you need to do is drink a Gatorade and take an Advil and you'll be golden. And I would bounce back. And now it's just gotten to the point where I was just like, there's no cure for this. This is a mistake and you need to live with it forever. I'm even at the point now where it's like, I don't even think I had that much to drink last night, more than I should have. But it's like, it's just the point where, like, if I have one beer, I wake up the next day and being like, I had a beer last night, you know?
Yes.
And I'm just like, the hubris that I was ever young enough that I thought this was something that could be cured or treated is unreal. So that's
so funny. I don't know if you remember saying this to me a bunch last night, but like at one point I was like, Craig, you gonna be okay tomorrow, buddy? And you're like, oh, I can handle my alcohol.
Did I? Yes! No, I did not say
yes.
I do not remember that.
That was so funny. No, you're great. No, we had a fun time. So for my hero of the week is actually a woman I used to box with.
Oh.
I do not know her name. I know this sounds insane. So at one point in my life, I'd just gone through a bad breakup, and I was like, well, I hate myself and whatever, all that fun stuff, right? Depressed. And I always wanted to learn how to box. I think that's a cool sport. I think that's fun. It's kind of solitary, which is something I'm not super coordinated, so I kind of prefer to do things like cross-country running or whatever, just things that are solo. I'm like, yes, I can do that because nobody else is depending on me, because that gives me anxiety immediately. I'm like, I'm going to fuck up. Anyway. So I signed up for boxing. I was actually at one point like training like quite a bit. And there was always one woman that I would take the bag beside because I was like, I love her so much. She was such a... Okay, there's two types of people that go to boxing classes. People that come to work out and people that come to work things out. Okay, and she was the latter. Okay, she was there to work shit out. And I appreciate that, okay? Because boxing's actually, if you have like a lot of anxiety, it's a perfect activity because you cannot be mad after punching a bag. Like, you just can't. You can't, I don't know, I all of my anxiety evaporates. You just feel so depleted. You're like, oh, I'm money emotionally. This woman would come in and she would, and it would be pretty quiet. You know what I mean? She wouldn't be super loud about it. But every single time, every time she start punching the bag, she start going, I'm the champ. I'm the champ. I'm the champ. And she go, I'm number one. And it was constantly just like little like affirmations like that constantly. Just like, I'm the champ. I'm the champ. And I would always box beside her because I would just take that like it was a motivational speech. I would just hear that and go, yeah, she's the champ. I'm the champ. We're all the champ. Like, I would just totally use that as motivation for myself. And I would always post up right beside her because I'm like, this is the best. I love this so much.
The energy is what you need. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
She was so great.
That's so fun.
Just sit there. I'm the champ every time. Every week. I'm the champ. I'm the champ. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, you're the champ. Hell yes. I don't know, whatever, because like there would be moments in her little where you could tell she was getting a little more like she was working on something. She's like, fuck you or something. And I'm like, yeah, fuck her. Like, I just want to start hype manning it, but she was honestly the best, and I love working out with her. We never spoke.
I love that relationship.
But she was my favorite.
So much. Oh, that's amazing.
She's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. On a quick side note, I remember when you started boxing because like that was like we knew each other, but like didn't really see each other regularly or whatever. And I remember you mentioning that you were starting boxing, and then I saw you again like months later, and I was like, oh, I remember this thing about Rebecca that I can follow up on. And I asked you how the boxing was going, and I was like, I have this weird memory of being like, oh right, I know things about you now that we can have conversations about. It's like, so it's funny to hear you tell a story about that time, because I remember crossing paths with you ever so briefly back then.
It was the fittest I've ever been. I can't go back. I am a potato now. I have turned into a human potato. Anyway, that's it for us, guys. Where can people follow you, Craig?
Yeah, you follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook or Twitter.
And as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any social media of your choosing. Guys, next week, we've got an exciting one. We're covering Jungle Cruise. That's right. We're doing the newer Disney movie, Jungle Cruise. So look forward to that. And guys, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to keep your gloves up.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.